time once again for Sports Sidebar, covering sports for Northeast Ohio, and sometimes even a little outside that area. Sports Sidebar, where we prove that a little knowledge is dangerous, but even less knowledge makes it a little easier to fill an hour. Now on to our hosts, Captain Bill and Dave. And good Tuesday afternoon, everyone, I guess. We're back with another hour of Sports Sidebar, the best show of the year.
That's right. Happy New Year to you, and I hope you had great holidays. I got a nice present for Christmas. It was COVID-19.
Which is why we're remote today, yes.
Yeah, but I feel good. I know people are probably very concerned about me right now, but don't be worried. I'm in good hands, I think.
Did she lock you back in your...
No, I'm not down in the basement. She had it with me, so how about that?
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
But family that shares COVID together stays together if they live together. Yeah. Yeah.
Fortunately, it was a very mild bout of this thing. And
I'm sure having your vaccines and booster didn't hurt it any.
It didn't hurt it. I must have the Omicron thing. I had no lung problems. It was more of a congestion, you know, and a little bit of fatigue and muscle ache. But I had that every day at my advanced age of 50. At 50 years old.
At 50 years old, you do, yeah. That you get that.
You would know.
I mean, yeah, because you can get that in your ARP card, you know.
I got it, too. I'm so excited.
All those great discounts, yeah.
Yeah, I can get discounts at Denny's. We start having dinner now at 4. except on Tuesdays, because that's when our show is on.
Right. Yeah,
yeah, we don't want to. So, yeah, we watched some football. We saw the Green Bay game, and we saw a whole bunch of games, and...
You know,
what a year, huh?
It's so frustrating. Might as well go to it. The Browns were eliminated before they played. I don't think that helped them any. But, you know, had they won this game, they would have eliminated the Steelers from the playoffs, which they did not do. Now, did you listen to the game or watch the game?
I watched the entire game.
I did, too. But you know what? I got awful tired by the end of the second quarter of this Big Ben love fest they had, going the entire game.
Well, come on. If we had a Hall of Fame quarterback retiring and it was his last home game, the Browns would have... Of course, we don't have that, do we?
No.
But, you know, he did remarkably. I mean, he's in the top 5-10 of quarterbacks of all time. So, gosh, you got to give him his due. I know he was a pain in the butt for the Cleveland Browns and their fans, but I had no problem with that.
With
that. Now, you apparently
you're a better man than I.
Well, you apparently I just got tired.
Well, he will. He'll be in Canton. He'll be obviously a first ballot entrant into the Hall of Fame in Canton, and he deserves it. But this love fest for a guy who, you know, again, it wasn't for what he did last night. I mean, he, 129 yards and one interception, you know, but still, I mean, nothing, that's all you heard about, pretty much.
No, I heard more than that. I heard the game being called.
Well, yeah, I did hear criticism of something that you know, of like, where the heck is Nick Chubb? He had four carries in the first half. Well, you know why they would, you know, there was a Belichick move. Well, they would be expecting it, so we aren't going to give that to them. So,
well, I was ready. But getting back to this love fest.
The love fest, yes.
I had no problem with it. I mean, my goodness gracious, it was his saying goodbye to his fans. And... You don't think Tom Brady would deserve that at his last game with Tampa Bay?
Tom Brady has had that for the last 10 years.
I understand, but he, I think that Nancy and I watched it after the game, after he walked around and the fans were cheering. It was honoring somebody who brought two Super Bowl wins, never had a season under 500, and won't again this year. And it was an appropriate celebration of his time as a Hall of Fame quarterback in Pittsburgh. So you're jealous. That's what you are. You're just jealous.
So?
Oh, okay. Well, at least you admit.
So?
So, I mean, if we have ever had a franchise quarterback, and apparently the one we have now will not be.
No. I mean, and let's face it, franchise means you can depend upon them in most fourth quarters to finish out the game and help you win.
That's right. And he's done, Roethlisberger has done that throughout his career.
He has.
Last couple of years, he's, you know, obviously has lost some talent, but.
His skills have diminished?
His skills have diminished. Now, Tom Brady's skills have not diminished. I mean, he had a tremendous comeback on Sunday.
When his best wide receiver walked off the field.
Oh, isn't that something? I'm gonna do that to you one day.
You're going to? No, please, don't take your shirt off.
I'm just going to say, I'm tired of this, and I'm walking off the set.
Yeah, but that's what, you know, he did. You know, he said he just was too injured to play, although he kind of did a dance getting off the, you know, to go into the tunnel. But he tore off his jersey and threw it, then he tore off his other shirt and threw that and left the field.
We're talking about Antonio Brown. He was
Antonio Brown. Yeah. And it was interesting hearing comments after that by all the Fox analysts saying, they were all saying, I don't know why he did that, but he obviously needs help, and I hope he gets the help he needs.
Well, obviously there's something challenging this young man, and now he lost his job with the Buccaneers, who have a very good chance of repeating going back to the Super Bowl.
They certainly have made the playoffs and are moving forward there.
You know, I was speaking of wide receivers who've had problems. Josh Gordon's still around. Did you know that? I mean, I was watching the Kansas City.
He got picked up by Kansas City?
Yeah, he's playing with the Chiefs. He was in the game against the Cincinnati, which was an awesome game. Did you see that?
I did. Was really kind of rooting for the Chiefs in that one, but it was an amazing game.
Why would you want that? But you know the Browns. Were out of it. They had their chances. Even if Cincinnati had lost, they don't even deserve.
Well, you know what? I can't disagree with that. That they don't deserve to be in the playoffs. But had Cincinnati lost, they would not have been automatically eliminated. And with Cincinnati winning, they won the division. And basically what we, and it still will probably go that way. You win the division or you will go home. Now, I know that the bottom line is Pittsburgh and the Ravens are just above that. And Pittsburgh, they have to have, who is it? Like somebody like, somebody's got to lose to Jacksonville, and they're a really good team. I forget who what that is.
The Colts.
Okay, they're an okay team. The Colts are, but
they're
Jacksonville isn't.
They're 50.5 point favorites over the Jaguars coming Sunday. So the Colts have to lose, and Pittsburgh got to win. I think Baltimore has to lose, and another game. Where is it here? They can't tie.
You're right. The Raiders game they can't tie, and it was
they can't.
The Raiders, and I forget who the Raiders are playing.
They're playing the Chargers. The winner goes in the playoffs, and the losers stay home. So that'll be interesting. It's a Sunday night game, last game of the regular season. Yeah, but you know what? Getting back to this Browns game,
Yeah. Do we have to? I mean, okay, go ahead.
Well, you know, it's our team here at Narciso.
Yes.
It's a team that looked like it was eliminated offensively. Yeah. Played like they were. Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't understand Stefanski keeping the best running back, or one of the
best in the league right now. Yes,
and he was averaging 7 yards a play, a run, and even the comment, well, where's Chubb? He's standing on the sidelines with.
Well, they were all deciding that he must be hurt. They must be hurt or something is what they were thinking. You know, and this is what I've said ever since Stefanski took over as head coach. He wanted to call all the plays. Give it up. Give it up. I've been saying that for 2 years now. He needs to concentrate on the entire team and not calling all the plays. He's got a more than qualified offensive coordinator who actually called plays for our Green Bay.
So last year he did the same thing, and they were 11-5, went to the playoffs for the first time in 26 years. That was okay, but this year it's because they're not doing as well. How about the players executing the plays that he puts out there? Because there are head coaches that do call the offensive plays. I don't have a problem with it. I know you do. But if the players execute the plays like they're supposed to, then he would look like a genius, wouldn't he?
But when they are constantly, he got sacked 9 times, mostly because he was going back to try and throw the ball.
Well,
when you're getting sacked that many times, you've got a rookie right guard trying to go against T.J. Watt. You got to change your plans. You can't go in with something that you have made a plan on Monday, and if it isn't working, you know, that's part of the problem with this team. They refuse to make adjustments. This is our plan. We're sticking with it. And maybe last year, that might have worked. This year it isn't working, so you have to make adjustments. That's one thing that Pittsburgh does great, that they may be down in the first half, as they have been many times this year, but they make adjustments. They come out and find a way to more often than not win the game. We make no adjustments. This is our game plan. We are not changing it no matter what happens. That's the big problem. So if Stefanski would say, okay, this isn't working, we need to try this in this game that's different from what our game plan was.
Well, an offensive coordinator who could do the same thing. I mean, he could mess up as well as the head coach. I don't know what the solution is.
I understand, you know, but when your plan isn't working on that game, why aren't you making adjustments?
Well, I don't know. And that's a great question to ask Stefanski. I mean, my goodness gracious, they were only down 10-0 at the half, and then it was kind of a boring game, actually, offensively.
On both sides.
Defensively, it was a great game to watch.
Because in the first half, I don't think either team had a third down conversion.
They didn't.
It wasn't until the third quarter that the Steelers finally got one.
I understand. So it was you can't fault Joe Woods. I mean,
no,
other than the last, when they had the touchdown that went, 35 yards a run, that was not good, but the game was pretty much out of hand at that point anyway.
It definitely was when that happened.
Yeah. So defensively, I don't think that the team played badly.
I just think at the end, the defense that was left on this team due to injuries and COVID and whatever, I think they were just out and out completely exhausted. Part of the reason is three and out, interception, three and out, quarterback sack, quarterback sack, quarterback sack. When you lose 5, 6, 8, 9 yards on each play with a sack, that doesn't give you much of a chance.
Well, he, Greasy, the commentator on,
is that
ESPN.
Bob, is that Bob Greasy's son?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is. He was a quarterback. That's, Brian Greasy.
Brian Greasy, yeah.
Brian Greasy. Don't get his chicken because it's very greasy.
Very greasy.
I like
greasy
chicken.
Foods, though. I like greasy foods. Not good for me, but I like them.
I do too, actually. So scratch that. Get the chicken. It's really
get the
greasy.
Chicken. Yeah.
Yeah. he made the comment he's not comfortable. His confidence is shot. It's, if I were the Cleveland Browns brain trust, and they're all Brady, you know that, don't
oh,
you?
They're really smart people. Very smart people.
Smart
people.
Smart. I have him scheduled, I would have Mayfield scheduled for surgery this week.
Yeah. We do.
Why play him next week? The guy is. I mean, they showed how he is. It's hard to follow through. It's. It's just. I don't know. He's just incapable of making really long passes, which is necessary at the end of the game, to, to have those kind of drives. It's just to the point where he needs to get the surgery done.
Right.
And I don't think you need any more evaluation. How can you evaluate somebody on the last game of the year who is hurting?
Yeah, in a game that means nothing except if you win it, you get a higher draft pick.
Yeah, and you don't want it. You want a lower draft pick.
Right.
And
not that Cincinnati is going to be playing everybody full force that last game, because they won't be, because they've already made the playoffs. They don't get the bye week, so why not rest some of your key players?
Yeah, the best they could do is 11 wins. I don't know. They honestly, if Tennessee would happen to lose, they would be tied with the. Well, you got Kansas City too. It's going to probably be Kansas City or Tennessee gets the first week bye.
Well, Tennessee's got the first week bye right now. I don't know who they play. I don't know who Tennessee plays the last game, but they've got the.
I can tell you here in a second. They're playing the Texans.
Okay, so that
they probably have
the bye week sewn up pretty much.
You know that's a team that nobody talks about, yet they have the best record in the AFC.
You know what I find interesting about...
Nobody talks about them.
You know what I find interesting about that team?
What?
That was your sister's man, quarterback, from Miami. And Tannehill. He couldn't do anything with Miami, mostly because of either management or coaching or whatever, and he goes to Tennessee, and he has turned them into what they have. Now, he didn't do it by himself, but we know what an important part the quarterback is to each team.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's fundamental. It's absolutely fundamental. I mean, Baker Mayfield had a good year and last year, and the Browns had a successful season. He's had a miserable 2021/2022, and the team is 2 games below 500.
Yeah.
So that tells you something. And let's face it, the Browns have a huge question to be answered. Is this the guy you want to lead your team for several years down the road? And I don't think having him play in Cincinnati is going to help you evaluate that. You have to have him have surgery, recuperate, have the training, all the physical therapy necessary to be back by next year. Bring somebody in to challenge him.
Yes.
And then go from there and let next season be the season that you judge him. I get a feeling that Stefanski just doesn't want to have a controversy at quarterback. So he lets this guy play. And the outcome was horrendous. Yeah. Batted balls. How many batted balls? The guy's just standing because he didn't release the ball fast enough. We're over the head. And then a lot of those sacks were him holding on the ball too long and giving the Pittsburgh defense chance to get to him. Even the best line can't help you if you're standing there in the pocket for too long. They're going to get you. So a lot of problems, just a lot of problems surrounding. They have a good base to go on and build around. But the quarterback question is huge right now. It's just huge, this game. It's just, I haven't had a chance to listen to any radio, but I would assume that the quarterback play of the Cleveland Browns is just being,
beat up on. Yeah.
Beat up on. Yeah. And the coaching, why you didn't use your all-pro running back, and you had, the Ernest Johnson in there. I know you got to give the guy a break, but it doesn't take a genius if Chubb is getting 7 yards a carry on average, and I think that was now they did stop him from time to time.
They do, and you will stop the best of them from time to time.
Yeah.
But
I would have handed it off 3 times, and hopefully he got 10 yards. Now, they were defending that.
They have the worst run defense in the league.
Yeah.
And we didn't even challenge them.
No. I don't know. It just, I think everybody agrees that the Cleveland Browns were the, at the beginning of the season, were the kind of Cinderella team that could make it to the Super Bowl this year. And they have been the biggest disappointment in all of the National Football League.
Yeah.
At all of it, because of the expectations, the outstanding
we
running
We always
back.
Get our expectations up so high on this team. And even I said, we ought to win 11 games on here and at least go to the playoffs.
Yeah, I got to find my file here. Let me find, not the one I use for my nails.
And to get out of the jail,
that kind of file. what are my predictions here? I think I predicted the worst scenario, with the talent that they had.
With the talent they had,
was 10-7.
That's the very worst scenario.
That's the worst.
We're not going to come near that. No, we're not going to be 500.
Well, I don't think we'll be 500.
No, we aren't. It's impossible at this point.
Yeah,
we're 2 games under 500. If we win one more game, then we'd still be 1 game under 500 because we have an odd number of games this year.
You know what? You're a pretty smart guy.
Uh oh.
I couldn't have figured that out.
Here comes the sarcasm.
Oh no, it wasn't. I thought that was an astute observation.
We have an odd number of games this year now, so which is the first time. Which is the first time.
Yeah. And they're going to probably shoot to 18. I don't know. I think the season's too long. I think 16 was the right
season's
number.
Too long, but guess what NFL is helping push?
They're helping push to get another one?
They're pushing the spring football with USFL is coming back again. Spring.
Is it part of the NFL?
I think as much as I've seen their ads during NFL games, I think that NFL has approved it. That's kind of like that could be like another scouting thing for them.
Mm-hmm.
Some guys that don't get picked up in the draft, and here they are in the spring ball, and you can see what they do. And of course, there's always players that fall through the cracks. Always. That will be there that could make an NFL team.
That's correct. And even some in the Arena League when it was around.
Yes.
Made the NFL. But I don't have a problem with that. It's not going to be as well viewed.
No.
Of course, it may, without any baseball, perhaps, in the spring.
Well, that's true. Maybe that's another reason they're pushing it, because we may not, you know, you never know what the baseball may or may not be doing in April.
Well, I don't have a problem with if the U.S. It's not going to be the same caliber as the National Football League,
no.
And especially if the NFL is pushing this, it's going to be like a minor league option to watch.
Yeah.
And let's face it, there's some guys out there, like you say, who don't make these NFL teams that can show some scouts that they're worthy of being added on to the team, maybe as a practice squad. It gives them an opportunity to make a decent living.
Well,
I have no problem with that. I just don't know.
Well, there are a lot of people.
I'm not going to be interested in watching football in the spring.
And because there are less rounds, there's more players to get invited and come on and sometimes makes a team like Josh Cribb did, you know, that now asking you, if you were given the choice to be on a spring team that's on a league run by the NFL and play and make your money that way, or sitting on somebody's practice squad, which way would you go?
Well, I think you could do both. I think you could.
Actually, you could. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. Well, I did.
Because you're smart.
Yeah, you could be on the practice squad, and you're off. Most of them would be off after the playoffs, and then
half of them will be off when the playoffs start.
Yeah. So and then you have a chance to play in the USFL, make some more money there, and then if you're good enough, maybe picked up to be a backup, whatever, or even make it to first string. Some have done that. And so, but I don't know. I think it's saturated. I really do. We talked about that before, about, you know, killing the goose that laid the golden egg. And I apparently, you know, maybe 17 games people like. I don't necessarily think playing football in February is something I mean, we're talking about, for example, Franco Harris having accumulated so many yards in his rookie year, but he was playing in a 14 game season.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. His accumulations. Jim Brown was playing, I think, in a 12 game season. So now we're up to 17. And where does it end? It really, I know the money is just fantastic. Fantastic money. But they're just a saturation, I think. And then you add a USFL, and who knows? Who knows? But I don't have a problem with it. I'm just not going to be interested in it. I don't even know who the teams are.
I don't either.
I would imagine like San Antonio doesn't have a football team. That would make sense. Or a big city.
Columbus doesn't have one.
Or a Columbus or Portland, Oregon.
They do have the Buckeyes. Who, by the way, did come from behind to win that Rose Bowl game. 48-45. What a defensive struggle that was.
Yeah, big deal.
Well, you know, they did, at least they won. I mean, a little better than what the team up north did against Georgia.
Well, at least the team, this is what makes the college football playoff with only four teams, makes the other bowl games insignificant.
Yes.
And you can win the Rose Bowl, the granddaddy of them all, but it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. Okay, you won the Rose Bowl. So what? And it was an interesting game. I watched part of it, but how can you get excited about a game that's really meaningless? It is, isn't it? Compared to the games that Cincinnati played against Alabama, which I give credit to Cincinnati to not get blown out. They were respectable against Alabama. And then Michigan, it was so boring, we ended up watching a movie. New Year's Eve, instead of watching the rest of that game. So it was a Netflix film with Don't Look Up. It was about a grad student or a postdoctoral student or almost a doctoral student finding an asteroid out there and determining with Leon, what's his name? The guy from Titanic.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, DiCaprio. He was the professor, and he did the calculations and said in 6 months this is going to destroy the world. Nobody took it serious. I mean, it was a parody of what's happening in our country today, and I recommend it to anybody who wants to watch it or listen to it. It was a good movie, and it was better than Michigan Game, that's for sure. and now we got a repeat of the SEC championship, don't we? Big
yes.
deal.
Yeah.
And I am not.
Well, that's what makes it. That's what makes it boring, right? Because when you have the same people there at the same time, and let's face it, there's only been a total of maybe we've had this what? How many years now? About 6 years.
6 years.
And we've had maybe 8 or 9 different teams make the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah, and they usually well. Ohio State did win once.
They won the first one. Yes.
Yeah. But until they brought, I don't know when they're doing that. Do you recall?
I was thinking, I talked to my son on that, and I think he thinks it starts next year.
Well, I hope so. I mean, these are student athletes. I hope they don't take them out of class to get ready for these games. My goodness, they're student athletes.
Yeah.
Well, some of them are now getting paid to do certain things, and I think one guy, I forgot, it was a story and not about 2 weeks ago about a player who went to a team that was not competitive, but he got an offer that was so good financially that would pay him for performances outside of appearances outside of football that he went there because of the money. So I think you'll see that.
And I think that you'll, because, you know, I think you can go to an Akron U and you get the boosters there that own businesses. Say, okay, look, I'll pay you guys, I'll pay the offensive line to come down and be here Saturday night at our, Saturday morning at our, or Friday morning at our business, and you can sign autographs and such, and I will pay you guys so much dollars for that. You know, that kind of a thing. Because even in a place like University of Akron, I think that kind of a thing can help them.
Well, it can't hurt.
No,
I mean, unless you lose talent to another team that's offering their alumni because, or offering more money.
Right, because you know, let's face it, if you're the fifth guy on the depth chart at Ohio State, how many opportunities are you going to get to make anything?
That's right. I don't know. Anyway, Michigan was a boring game. Actually, the Cincinnati game was kind of boring as well. But the SEC is just a step above most other conferences. It's just the way it is because that talent, they keep the talent in that area, going to Alabama, Georgia, LSU, those Clemson. They're always very, very good in recruiting top talents from the South. That seems to overwhelm everybody else. Now, Ohio State did break through some, but it's hard to capture a title with these SEC teams. Now, maybe with an expansion that will help, but it just looks like Saban has a well-oiled machine.
I'm not saying that the same six teams that generally make it there aren't going to make it there. But it takes away the insignificant bowl because every bowl game that has to do with the playoff system means something.
Mm-hmm. It does. I mean, the Rose Bowl could have meant something. Now, whether it meant I don't know how they're going to stage this thing, but I'm just glad they're expanding it because it makes some of these teams that are playing like, Utah looked pretty impressive to me. I mean,
yeah.
Utah was that good. But I didn't think there was enough football players in Utah to even manage a team. But they got two major universities that can get enough players to make it be competitive programs at Brigham Young and Utah State. But
yeah,
at least Cincinnati and Ohio State are. We have another team in the state of Ohio that has the potential of being a top-notch football program with Lou Finkel as the head coach. But other than that, that's the only – those bowl games were very boring. And I know what you're saying. Ohio State did come back, and that was exciting. It was an exciting game. But you look for outcomes that have some meaning, right?
I mean, right, yes. Yes, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying in the pros with the Browns playing Cincinnati next week, the outcome is really meaningless, and you really should consider Baker Mayfield not to play and get healthy. Get healthy starting now, today, at this very moment. Schedule
surgery. But the thing is, I don't think Stefanski will let that happen. He'll only let it happen if Baker says, I'm done, I'm going to go get my surgery. And he said there's a possibility that he could do that, but he's leaving that up to Baker.
Well, that's the problem with Stefanski. I think that he's too centered in on Baker Mayfield. He's the quarterback. He doesn't want a controversy, so he keeps throwing him out there. Now, he made some good plays, but an average journeyman quarterback could have made those plays. He made some awful plays.
Yes.
They were not competitive, really. And Pittsburgh is not a good team. They're not a good team. And my goodness gracious, but the defense, even with all their injuries, Clowney did a good job, and, you know, Myles Garrett, to the best of his ability, with a groin injury, I wouldn't play him next week. Why aggravate that?
Right.
It's just, a sad state of affairs. And unless Cincinnati gets something out of winning this game, I can't imagine jeopardizing Joe Burrow.
No.
For the playoffs. Well,
and that brings me to another one of these college bowl games that don't mean anything. You got players sitting out because they don't want to get hurt before the big draft.
I don't blame them. Now, some people say, well, that destroys the spirit of student athletes. So, bull. Look at Joey Boza or Nick Boza, all the Bozas who didn't. I think Joey Boza didn't even play his senior year. He didn't even play his senior year because he wanted to go into the draft. And didn't want to jeopardize being hurt. And you're talking about life-changing money. Do you really want to be in a bowl that means nothing and jeopardize your ability? I mean, get one knee injury, that could cost the player potentially millions of dollars.
Well, right, and there were a couple of players that did get hurt in some of these bowls, and they, even if it's not career-ending, that's gonna there's a question mark over them when it comes down to the draft and to the combines and things like that.
Yeah, well, look at Jeremiah Osuasu Karamoa, JOK.
Right.
There was a rumor, just a rumor, that he had heart murmur problems that were not even confirmed, and that lowered him into the second round of the draft, and he should have been a first round drafter, and that rumor alone cost him hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars to be dropped from the first round to the second round.
Right.
So you're going to have a knee injury in a game that doesn't mean anything, and you're looking at being drafted. I don't have a problem. It's all about the money. The teams that are, the colleges are all about the money. Right? The coaches are all about the money.
All about the money.
And so when a player says, I don't want to play in a game that doesn't mean anything, and people criticize them, I think it's hypocritical. It's really hypocritical because they're looking out for themselves, and that's what it's all about, because everybody else is looking out for themselves, the colleges, the coaches, and let's say Nick Saban or even Ryan Day has a player who doesn't, who plays, is draft eligible to be really high and gets hurt. Diesel's going to get his millions of dollars, right?
Right, absolutely.
Not this poor kid who's now facing an ACL surgery because some guy blindsided him. I don't have a problem with it. I really don't. And people have to really reflect upon that person's individual situation and say, hey, I can understand that. I can understand why he doesn't want to play. So, but I don't know. I would have Baker Mayfield visiting the top-notch orthopedic surgeon today. And I'm sure they have it all mapped out anyway. But Stefanski is going to put his own career in jeopardy, the head coach of the Browns.
Yes.
If he continues to be centered in only on what Baker Mayfield feelings will be.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this guy's the franchise quarterback. I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know. At times last year, he said, well, it looks good, and he's going to be just as good this year and make an argument for a big extension. That extension is now out the door. Now, the guy's not going to suffer. He's making $19 million a year, for goodness sakes. It's not like he's ever going to be in poverty or impoverished the rest of his. He's got his life pretty well planned out financially already.
Sure.
But the big money, the big Josh Allen money that Buffalo paid him, that kind of Ben Roethlisberger type of money, you know, that kind of money will not be coming forth, I don't think, for him. And a lot of people say he's not going to be any more than a good backup quarterback down the road. I don't know the answers to these questions, but what I saw yesterday, Monday night, it's pretty bleak.
Unless I agree.
You know, but they say, you know, this injury has hampered him. If it's hampered him to the extent that jeopardized the playoffs, and you have an adequate backup that could manage the game just as well, maybe a healthy Case Keenum is better than a hurt Baker Mayfield, and yet you keep doing the same thing, you're jeopardizing your own career as a head coach, I think, given the doofuses running the team.
Hmm.
Right?
Right. Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. I can't disagree with that. I cannot. Because, for one thing, you're smarter than I am, so, you know.
Well, finally you admit it after all these years. Well, you did point out that they can't be, can't go 500 because there's only one more game. I thought that was.
Hey, you didn't think I had that kind of math skills in me, did you?
Oh, I was so impressed. Einstein impressed.
There you go.
So, oh well.
Do what you got to do.
Yeah, but and then the future. You got to look at the future of this division. Baltimore was greatly hurt by COVID and injuries, and
yeah, but they had a quarterback. They have a quarterback that stepped up to look very much like the guy they lost.
Yeah, I know, but they still and they lost two games by going for two extra points. And if they had won, in my opinion, they could have gone on and won both of those games, but they didn't. My point is, Baltimore's future is still looking pretty good with Lamar Jackson and even the backup. I think that young man has a
Huntley
chance.
I thought he was the worst quarterback in the history of the game, according to you.
But I think you're truly, truly misquoting me. Truly. All I said was your admiration for this guy was over the top. I didn't say he was going to be. He impresses me to the point where I think other teams will look at him as a starting quarterback. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. My point is, getting back to my point, is that the Ravens still have a very good team for the next few years. But the cream of the crop may very well be Cincinnati. They weren't picked to go anywhere this year. I mean, power ratings at the beginning of the year. My goodness gracious, we went through all this.
Yes, yes.
And they were.
Joe was coming off of being hurt, so he had no idea how he was going to respond.
Yeah. So they were at an average of 27 out of 32 teams. 27th worst team beginning the season out of 32. And Joe Burrow and their coaching staff and the team around them has led them to the North division of the AFC champion. I mean, being the champion of that division, right? I mean, and that's the big one of the big surprises coming out of this year. So you got Joe Burrow, a very promising quarterback, leading Cincinnati for years to come. Pittsburgh is going to be rebuilding after the retirement of Ben Roethlisberger, who apparently you're very jealous over. And so they'll be rebuilding, but you got to look at
it's a little thing called sour grapes too, you know.
Sour grapes.
Sour grapes. Yeah. Sour grapes don't taste good.
No, they don't, unless you put sugar in them. Then they wouldn't be
sour.
Then
they would be sour, right.
Yeah. So you got Joe Burrow and Cincinnati Bengals and Baltimore still above you for years to come with good talent. So what are the Browns going to do? That's the question. What are the Browns going to do? And they have other teams like Tennessee, for goodness sakes, who nobody was talking about being the best. You got New England with the that made the playoffs this year with Mac Jones and a refurbished offense and Bill Belichick back in the playoffs once again. You got Buffalo, got other teams that are improving. And here we are with Baker Mayfield as the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. What are they going to do?
Yeah. Well, I realize he's hurt. And we got hit by the COVID and all this stuff, but other teams get hurt and have dealt with COVID issues as well. I'm just not sure anymore. I thought he was a guy that had enough moxie and leadership to bring this team along, and I just don't know.
Well, the only way to do it, in my opinion, like I said before, get them healthy.
Right.
Get somebody in here that will compete for that job and see if he prevails. If not, you got to do what's best for the team and go with the better of the quarterback talent. I guess it's a lousy year from what I understand of quarterbacks coming out of the draft. So, you know, Marlo Ridenour has suggested that when we play Green Bay, that was what a game that was. He had, what, four interceptions the week before? Hello?
Yes.
The week before. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. I didn't know if I accidentally hit this button.
No. We're here.
Oh, all right.
I just think, I agree. Baker, there are actually several games I thought they should have sat Baker and not played him, giving him a chance at least to heal a little. At this point, he needs to heal completely. You know, otherwise, you're going to get the same thing out of him next year that you got out of him this year.
Yeah.
And that way, they might not even re-sign him after that.
No, but Marla Ridenour, getting back to what I was saying, is suggesting that our game against them was a incentive for Aaron Rodgers, if he does leave Green Bay, to come to Cleveland. I don't know how she made that conclusion.
I don't know how she made that conclusion either.
But there are other, you know, there are quarterbacks that may be available for the Browns to, with some talent like Russell Wilson. Because it looks like Pete Carroll could be out in Cincinnati here shortly. And maybe Russell Wilson doesn't want to stay in Seattle. I don't know. I mean, I would like to see Russell Wilson here. I think maybe he would be a great fit if Baker Mayfield can't cut the mustard, and he hasn't. He just hasn't been.
Yeah, if you put him side by side and let him compete for the job, even a healthy Baker Mayfield would, I think, find a hard time, even though he's much younger than Russell Wilson. I think he would have a hard time competing with what Russell Wilson knows, his experience, and how to work around things.
I just don't think Aaron Rodgers will ever lead the Green Bay Packers.
But they now have another guy that they want to bring up, like they did with Aaron Rodgers, and they felt they kept on to Brett Favre a year longer than they really should have. And now they're starting to feel the same thing with a guy that, I'm not sure who it is, but my son could tell you, who he is sitting there waiting in the wings that they don't want to wait an extra year and pay him a ton of money to not even get a chance to play, because they move him in there so that he can work with a good team that is there and carry it along as he learns what he's doing. He's been there for 2 years, and they don't want him to sit a third year.
Well, I understand, but what do you do when a team's 13-3? Right now, Green Bay is 13-3. The guy doesn't look like Aaron Rodgers, doesn't look like he's losing anything. Would you just let him go? Because you want another guy who's untested to come in? I don't think so.
Well, they did that to Brett Favre, and I honestly don't remember what Brett Favre's last year was. I know it wasn't a losing record, but I don't know how good it was. But they did, basically, they just let him go.
Yeah, but he was showing signs of...
Well, he was, yes. Because he'd been beat up enough on years that he didn't have an offensive line protecting him. He got beat up pretty bad, too. Now, nobody's gotten beat up, in a sense, more than Ben Roethlisberger. He holds the record of at least, I think, of all quarterbacks getting sacked.
Yeah.
So he's certainly, and he's a hard guy to get down, but he's been sacked more than any other quarterback in the NFL.
And I think he obviously knows it's the end of the road for him, right? But yes. Aaron Rodgers, I think, is the same age or maybe a year younger, but he doesn't show any signs.
He has not had quite the wear and tear that Roethlisberger has either.
I can't believe the Browns would bring somebody in at that age and with that salary to replace Baker Mayfield. I just don't think, I guess she's just speculating, Marla Rittenhouse.
I think she's speculating. I don't see he would want to come here.
No. I mean, unless you really like cities next to a lake. I mean, right?
Yeah.
But if you look, if Russell Wilson, for example, is available with this offensive line, the offensive line in Seattle is not very good, and with the running backs that we have, I think he would make a really good impact here. I really do, and he would be my choice. I don't know if I want to. If I was the Cleveland brain trust, the Browns brain trust, really rely on my future with Mayfield. And that's too bad because he came into the league with such high hopes. We would finally find our Browns, that is, the quarterback of the future. And boy, that performance yesterday throws, and even the performance against Green Bay with four interceptions, you can't have four interceptions.
No.
You can't.
I forget who it was, this week that had three interceptions and still was able to win the game. I don't think they were playing a very good team, but still, you can't give the ball to the other team that many times and expect to win a ball game. You can't do it.
No.
Not in this league.
No. Mm-mm. So, what could have been didn't happen. We'll see what happens. I just hope they get this kid healthy and let them compete next year for a job and not just hand it to them, because I don't think that's the appropriate way to go. But who am I? Who am I?
Well, we're not paid millions of dollars to think these thoughts.
We're not?
So we're not smart. We're not as smart as they are. Because
they're very smart.
They're making lots of money.
Very smart.
Very smart. Very, very smart.
Yeah. So,
because you look at what we had going into the season, we had an okay team, or an aberration of a team, the year before when we made the playoffs and won the first playoff game.
Yeah.
And then we came in this year with actually a better team than what we had last year.
On paper.
On paper.
Yeah.
And you have to say, look what happened.
Well, look what happened back in 2004. The Browns, once again, made a decision to take Kelvin Winslow Jr. over Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
Ben Roethlisberger got...
Yeah, he's just a Mac kid, man. He's not going to do anything.
No, he's not. He's a Mac kid. And Kelvin Winslow Jr. is in prison for the next 16 years. So there you go. That was another great pick.
Smart people. Really smart people.
Smart.
Really smart people.
Yes. Hey, listen, we got to go over the Beacon Journal did a nice job of going over 75 of the best players in the 75 years of the Browns. And
we don't have time to do that today, but maybe next week.
Maybe next week or whenever football's over with. But I thought that was an interesting article, and they also had legends that were on this coaching staff as well. So speaking of legends, we lost John Madden.
We did lose John Madden. Yes, we did.
I always liked him.
Lively in the broadcast booth, a personality when he was a coach, a guy that would not fly with his team because he was afraid of flying and took the train everywhere.
Or he had a decked out bus
for
many, many years. He was a character. And you know what's ironic is the weekend before he passed away, Fox Sports did a biopic of his life and how he really changed sports color commentators.
He paired up
with Pat Summerall, and he became a legend not only in coaching but a legend in broadcasting as well. And even Joe Buck said John Madden, when he was brought over to Fox, made Fox legitimate. And when Fox finally got the NFC games from the NFL, paid a fortune for it. He added legitimacy to that sports broadcasting group. And he was just a good guy. I don't think anybody I ever heard of said anything bad about him. He was always interesting. He was always listening. And he was football.
And he could look at things from a coach's prospect. So, yeah.
And remember his... his turkeys on Thanksgiving Day when he broadcast, he had like six or eight legs on this thing, and they flew to. He showed how to carve it with his hands, and he was a character. And we lost him this week.
We did, but what we haven't lost is time for another pun.
Oh, you know what?
As the music is in,
you babble a lot. But this was our best show of the year.
It was our best show of the year, even though we're doing it remote.
Yes, remote. Okay, you ready?
Yes.
This is, I guess, kind of a sad story. A man died today when a pile of books fell on him.
Uh-oh.
He only had his shelf to blame.
He did. And that's going to have to hold us for another week. Maybe you'll be able to be back in studio again next week. And, yeah, that does sound like it's not like we're talking about much about the Browns game next week. So maybe you look at that 75 great Browns there. That may be a great way to spend the hour.
Get it started.
Yeah, sure. You bet. Anyway, that's it till next week. Everybody, stay safe, and we'll be back again next week with Sports Sidebar.